beat.
Oh. Were you singing along there?
Well, you know, Rich, I'm remembering very vividly when I first saw the Beach Boys. And that was at a place called P.O.P. It was sort of like a pier that had rides and like different venues and concessions in Santa Monica, or actually Venice Beach.
So are you saying you saw them in the very early stages of their Beach Boydom?
Actually, we were on the same bill, and I think I was about 15 or so, and there was an executive of Capitol Records in the audience, and it was all outside, and I think, you know, I know I met him at that time, and then he signed me to Capitol, and he heard them, and he must have signed them to Capitol just around the same time.
Oh, wow, so this really was prior to, they were probably on the Candex label or something, and I guess were they doing, I guess it was pre-Surfing Safari and pre-Surfing USA, and...
You know, I just remember those harmonies.
Well, yeah, how can you forget those harmonies?
And the striped shirts.
Oh, yeah, exactly, the striped shirts. Well, we're not here to talk about the Beach Boys. We're here to talk about you, my dear. It's nice to have you back. We had some fun last Halloween when you were here. But now you've got something to talk about. You've got really something to talk about. And you always have something to talk about. But now you've got this new album out. And it's interesting because I would imagine a lot of folks, and you probably can tell me better, having been here on the mainland, I guess, for the last how many weeks you were here promoting this thing and meeting folks. And were a lot of folks taken aback when they realized you were this full-fledged recording act? You're not just an actress. You're not just the singer that you were back in the 1960s. This is – you're like Prince now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks.
Is that how you feel? I mean, I'm looking at the credits of this thing, and you really, you're going over the top here. You're above and beyond the call of duty.
Well, you know, I've been very much under the radar for so long, which is, you know, to the point of absurdity, but that's the way it is. And I've been singing all along. It's just that I've led a very different life until, you know, recently when I just decided, you know, it's time for me to go back out. And so these songs were sort of bubbling inside me, and they, you know, all I can say is everything is timing. And it was just a thoroughly enjoyable experience. But the reaction is good, and I'm really happy that you say you like it. So
we'll get more into that in just a bit. Now, just as a word of introduction for folks who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Donna Lauren, who you may recall back in the 1960s was on your TV set just a little bit on shows like Shindig and the Hollywood Palace, and also on your big movie screens where you were, I guess, billed right behind Frankie and Annette on a few of those beach movies.
That's true. And, you know, I had so much fun in Los Angeles because there's a company called the American Cinematheque, and they do these honors of various actors or, you know, films or directors.
You beat me to it. I was about to actually ask you about that night.
And the American Cinematheque bought two theaters in Los Angeles. One is in the west part of the city called,
I would just say West Hollywood, but what do I know?
No. I mean, that's like in my old neighborhood. Anyway, I will get back to that one. They also bought the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, which is a magnificent old theater. And as a matter of fact, back in the day, I went to a premiere of a movie called My Fair Lady.
Oh, that one, sure.
So way back in the day. Anyway, they played my old beach party movies. It was sort of a marathon. And I was interviewed, and I put together a brand new medley of all the songs that I sang in all those beach party movies, and sang it for the audience. And it was quite a wonderful experience, which now I'm planning on redoing it for possibly YouTube, at least for iTunes and some downloads.
And is there going to be a tour also? Are we going to see
The Love It Away tour coming to your town? Well, when I get back to your area, I'm sure that there are some very cool theaters that like the vintage movie scenario, or want to feature a vintage movie, and I'll be happy to host it and perform.
You know the expression, the Yiddish expression, haka chinek? I'm going to do that with Hal right now. I'm going to haka my chinek about having you do it in a theater in New York, because that's where you belong. So now, when you were up here, you were in L.A., you were in Chicago for maybe a couple of months. And
that's right.
Were you able to do some of those conventions, some of those... you know what I'm talking about? I was under the impression...
Yes,
okay.
Celebrity autograph convention.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so did you have people coming up to you saying, oh, yeah, I know who you are. I remember
you. It's so amazing. Actually, in Chicago, I even remember the fellow's name. He's so fantastic. His name is Tom Fontaine. Tom, I'm going to say hello, because he drove from Indianapolis, Indiana, to Chicago, karting books and albums and all kinds of memorabilia for me to sign that he said he was saving for 19 years.
Oh, that's great. God bless the fans, you know?
So,
we never forget.
It's really phenomenal. It's really phenomenal.
So,
well, I mean, look, the Beatles, they made such an impression. They came in, touched all of our lives way back then. They're still touching everyone's lives today. So, this is a phenomena that's not going to go away.
And it's true, and it's great to know, and it must make you feel good to know that you're part of that, that you're part of that era, and people remember you just that same way, with that same respect and reverence and excitement, and it's like the clock doesn't stop.
Well, thank you, Rich.
Well, hey, thank you. Now, let's talk about this album, because the last time we spoke, you had just unearthed some of the songs that you had done in the 80s. And now, this was, I have to think, listening to this album, as much of it as I've heard so far, it seems like a very cathartic experience. There's a lot going on in these songs, and you've chosen some incredible songs by some incredible songwriters. You've covered Neil Young here, Randy Newman, which I played last hour, which I have to tell you is my favorite song on this album. Your version.
Very cool.
I got chills hearing that. You just did a wonderful version of that. ELO and Don't Bring Me Down, you're covering, I guess it's Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, Shaking All Over, and also the Guess Who did it too. And you did it. You're actually covering yourself, because you sang that song back in Shindig days, I guess. Yeah, but, of course, it doesn't sound now like it did then. Now you are – it's like the adult Donna has come in and kind of taken over. Not the evil twin Donna, mind you, but just right? I mean, you're kind of saying, well, I'm not that little girl anymore.
Well, hopefully she's somewhere.
Well, she's in there. She's lurking in the back someplace. But having heard this song –
Yeah, well, it truly was an evolution. When I began writing the songs for the album, I mean, a couple of the songs had been in my catalog, and I, just have included them in my daily practices. But it's like a diary that expresses my feelings, tells you a little bit about, who I am, what I've been through. Hopefully, that you relate to, and mixed up with songs that are classics that also help to tell the story. So I'm really so pleased that it all came together the way that it did, and the people that I worked with, and actually in Hawaii as well as Los Angeles, because one of my favorite experiences in this process was sitting in my home in Hawaii with a Skype and being able to produce some parts that, for instance, bass parts that were being put on, you know, in Los Angeles, and it was a virtual experience. So,
well, that is modern technology at its finest, and it certainly is amazing. But even so, even given that situation, you still managed to call in some pretty big favors on this album to have Wrecking Crew bassist Carol Kaye on
yeah,
here.
Carol, actually, when we saw each other after a long time, she, you know, she recalled, oh, my God, you know, I've been on so many of your records. So it was a reunion. And she's a very, very wise and incredible and strong and funny woman. And literally, the studio that I was working in, it was the Maurice Gaynon Studios in Silver Lake. And he has these stairs I called Machu Picchu. And she's like 74 years old and just wailing up the stairs.
Oh, that's amazing.
She was incredible. And basically, you'll hear her on Don't Bring Me Down.
Uh-huh.
That is like... She totally turned on to that song, and so the other bass player that I was really fortunate to meet was it actually came about through my son, who was playing a gig for Randy at a little place called McCabe's in Santa Monica, and he told me, he said, "Mom, you know, there's a bass player that I just worked with," and he said to say hello, and you know, his brother went to school with you. So I gave him a call and asked him if he wanted to do some music with me, and he ended up putting, well, it took him almost a year. It took from February to last November for him to come off tour with Crosby, Stills, and Nash to take time to put his bass parts on my album.
But still, I mean, what a nice thing to do. This is
phenomenal.
His name
is Bob Glob, and he is just a phenomenal musician. Actually, you can see him on the last, no, not on 2010, but on 2009, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Madison Square Gardens, when Crosby, Stills, and Nash were inducted, you can see him playing on stage.
Ah, okay. I'm gonna go look for that now. Now, a little closer to home, you mentioned your son, and in the I Had No Idea department, your son is actually playing in a group now with former Radiohead member Tom York?
Oh, yeah. Well, Joey, he's one of those people who was like a born musician, and so he's, you know, this has been his entire life, but one of the first bands that he played with is Beck, you know, probably, what, more than 15, 18 years ago. And he continued working with Beck for a while and then moved on to some other musicians and then just came off a tour with Norah Jones. And Tom York and Nigel Godrich from Radiohead.
Right, who also produced McCartney's last record, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they said, listen, you know, we want to form a supergroup, and would you like to be part of it? So Joey's part of it, and also the bass player from Red Hot Chili Peppers, Flea.
I mean, look, is that the ultimate compliment or not? We want you to be, we're forming a supergroup, and we want you to be in it. I mean, it's like, it doesn't get better than that.
It's phenomenal, and their music, the music that they're making it's otherworldly. You know, it's really taking us into this next stage. I call it tweak the frequency.
Well, it's coming from so many different types of rock, considering Radiohead and the Chili Peppers and all the stuff that Godrich has done. I can't even imagine what this is going to sound like.
Yeah, well, it's pleasing to the ear. It's very fulfilling to the heart. And it just puts you in a space where you want to be.
You can't ask for much better than that. Now, let's not forget about your own musical talents, because in that same category of, oh, man, I didn't know that either, you are on keyboard and percussion throughout this album.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
You know, I'm sort of a closet case piano player. I do it. I pound out the piano on songs in my living room, and I decided to take it into the studio. So I did that. I also hired another musician to sort of cover some of my boo-boos. Because I don't claim to be, like a refined pianist. And then I went back into the studio in Hawaii and did some synthesizer work. So some of the strings, like on Old Man, that's my part. And a song called Still Love You, I'm doing the synthesizer part on that. And I had my first experience playing tambourine. So, excuse me, early in the morning you're catching me.
No, it's impressive nonetheless. Now, were you calling the shots for most of this? Were you producing?
Yes, yes. That's the way it is.
Now, you know a thing or two about that. Not to drag up some old memories that may or may not be good, but you know a thing or two about producing records, having spent a little smidgen of your life with a record producer that had some interesting credits.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Gordon Lightfoot, so I can say that.
Lenny, and when we met, his hit was Feeling Groovy, 59th Street Bridge song.
That's
with
right.
Bizarre. And he was a producer on Warner's, and I was an artist on Reprise, and that's how we met.
He was the producer on Warner's. You said he was a producer
well,
on
Jimmy
Warner's.
Well, Jimmy Bowen, at the time, was a major producer as well, and he was my producer as well as Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. So nothing to sneeze at,
No, not at all.
But Lenny went on to produce some, legendary music with James Taylor and, so that we, we can enjoy, and of course his best friend Randy Newman, and we can only thank him, for his incredible ears and his genius to know what sounds good to him, and it sounds good to all of us, and it's been sounding good to us for, decades. So, yes, I had that incredible experience.
You took a lot of mental notes during that time. You took a lot of mental notes, I guess, while you were watching this whole thing in action.
Yeah, well, I started making records when I was 9 years old, and so I've been in the studio quite a bit all my life, and even when I was married the first time, during... all the 80s stuff came from a studio at Warner Brothers. It's called Amigo Studios. I don't know if it still exists, but, I was privy to using the studio and, excuse me.
Oh, are you there? Oh.
Take a sip of tea.
Oh, okay. Very important.
And so, either I would go into that studio or I would, hire, some other studio. And anytime I wrote a song, I would just dip in and put it down because that just sort of fed my soul.
And that's what writers do. I mean, you are an obviously very creative person, so this is part of the process. Now, everyone can go on DonnaLauren.net. And catch up with everything you're doing and, of course, order this great new album, Love It Away, and see you in this dazzling blue dress.
Oh, and, thank you.
Well, I mean, you are impeccably just looking like $1 million on this album. And I read a little bit about the photographer that you hired.
Was I fortunate. Oh, my gosh, Rich. There is a man named Helmut Newton, who's a famous fashion photographer. He's the one who's responsible for doing all the Playboy magazines and, the classics and a brilliant photographer in Germany doing nudes and just beautiful, beautiful work. Well, the photographer who took the picture of me was one of his apprentices. His name is Mark Arbe, and he's the premier celebrity photographer in Hawaii. And, when I had my fashion business, in the last decade, his apprentice was working for Adasa doing all the models photography for our website. And, you know, I really was so privileged to know that I could be photographed by Mark, who took a day and, you know, came over from Honolulu. You get a puddle jumper and you fly over. You know, it's the only way you can get here unless you are a phenomenal swimmer. I wouldn't do that. There's too many sharks.
Well, he certainly captured a smoky sensuality about you heretofore not seen in earlier photography. I mean, you couldn't be in that dress holding a bottle of Dr. Pepper, you know? Just wouldn't work.
How about champagne?
No, there you go. Much, much better. Now, Love It Away, the song that you wrote, I listened to it, and I hear a little Sade influence. Are
oh,
we on the same wavelength?
So much.
There's something very
well, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that the whole lilt of it is just that lightness, that jazziness, that 3 a.m. in the bedroomness about it.
Oh, well, great interpretation, okay. Well, it is Love It Away, you know.
Absolutely.
But I sort of identify with what you're saying because I think of Sade as sort of a, you know, a spiritual warrior and, you know, someone who's out there making music, but doing something on a global level that's getting a message out there, you know, and that's what that song represents to me. The Love It Away, it was inspired by the incident actually that was really heavy that happened when the Gaza Strip incident came down when Israel was bombarding, you know, that area, and
wow.
It just broke my heart. And finally, you know, the song came out, and I was able to express it in a constructive way, rather than just, you know, how you sit and you watch and you feel so helpless.
Well, I guess that goes back to the cathartic adjective I used earlier. This you really nailed it, and it comes out in the way you put this out there. I'm going to play this right now. I don't want you to go anyplace. I just want you to say a few goodbyes to the folks out there. And
thank you.
And remember, DonnaLauren.net, that's the place you want to go to hear samples of this, to buy the CD, and also to keep up with what's going on in the exciting life of Donna Lauren.
Thank you, Rich.
Have a great one. Stay right there. We'll talk in a little bit. Want to play this song right now. This is
okay.
The title song from Love It Away on RNJ.
No!
1510. Well, that was it. WRNJ, the heart stopped beating. No, no. Get those medics. It's 1254, and it's been fun, but I got to run. Thank you so much for my special guest, Donna Lauren. We've had a wonderful time. Remember, the best thing you can ever be is yourself. More fun this time next week. I'm Rich Appel. I will see